Welcome in to Hail to the Podcast, joining you on a Tuesday night. Appreciate the patience. We took some time Sunday with Easter to be with our family, and then Monday, Brock called me out on Twitter. But yeah, I was in sports heaven last night. First, the LSU-Iowa women's game was fantastic. And then if you are a Detroit sports fan, what a night. Tigers 4-0, doubt they're going to play today, have not looked. And Red Wings back in the playoff hunt. So hopefully you guys enjoyed your weekends as well. It's also been a big few days for Michigan athletics. We're going to get into it, obviously, heading into another week of spring camp. We've got more rumors and intel regarding the football program. And then Michigan hockey, winning when it matters most, defeats Michigan State, their rival, who has had their number for most of the season. Other than the first game of the year, Michigan State had won four straight games, including the Big Ten Championship against the Wolverines. But it is Michigan going to a record 28th Frozen Four appearance, second straight for the man, Brandon. It's a good time to be a hockey fan. Hopefully this is the year they actually figure out if they can win it all. It's been a while in that department. We'll get into that. So joining me as always, Intel Insider publisher, Mr. Josh Henschke. He's going to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. And then we're going to jump in. Guys, this will be a great show for Q&A. So make sure if you're joining us here live, start dropping some questions and comments about Michigan football. Any questions you've got about the spring camp intel, and we'll grab the best ones. Mr. Josh, hit us.
Yeah. First off, I want to thank our friend West at My Perfect Franchise for sponsoring the show as always. He also sponsors our weekly Q&A on our message boards inside the Den, where we all answer your questions every week. So if you're not a subscriber there, please do join us, because a lot more ground is covered over at the Den than we do on these podcasts. Even though we do give an awful lot of information on this show, we give even more. So I just want to tell you a little bit more about our friend Wes from My Perfect Franchise. He offers his service is 100% free. So if you're looking for a change of pace or just a new challenge in your career, he's a great guy to talk to. So would you like to escape corporate America for good? Maybe you'd like to start a business on the side and keep your corporate gig. Wes can help. Wes is a franchise consultant as well as a business owner, and can help you find a franchise that fits your skill set, financial requirements, and how much time you have to commit, and much more. Franchise is a business startup and operations kit, perfect for those with general business skills, but who may not have specific knowledge on starting and running a small business. His services are 100% free, and he's here to help if you have any questions about business ownership. You can reach him by phone at 512-970-7478. Again, that's 512-970-7478, or see him on the web at myperfectfranchise.net/aboutwest.
Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, he has been with us from the beginning, so appreciate him, his support, his partnership. And yeah, if you are not a subscriber already, obviously we'd love to have you join us at michigan.rivals.com. The Den and the Q&A session that Josh runs, it's fun. He gets into a lot of intel, and we answer a lot of funny questions as well, too. So you definitely want to be a part of that. And joining us, too, Mr. Brock Heilig, who finds new locations every week. It's always fun to guess where he's going to be. Hair's getting a little long, buddy.
It is. I'm growing it out. I'm going to try and get it long again. It was pretty long about a year ago, and then I cut it before football season. So I'm growing it out again. But yeah, great weekend. I had a fun time celebrating Easter. And then, yeah, the basketball game yesterday, Caitlin Clark is just unbelievable. I know it gets said a lot, but she's something else, and definitely excited to watch them play UConn in the Final Four, and then see what happens after that. I think women's basketball is just has really taken off, and Clark deserves a lot of credit for turning I'm more excited to watch the women's Final Four than I am the men's Final Four. I think that's true for a lot of people as well. So I don't know. It's cool to see. It's fun.
It's all about star power, man. I grew up when the women's USA team was a huge deal, and then the WNBA started. I can still name Lisa Leslie, Rebecca Lobo, Cheryl Swoops, right? Like, it was a star power thing, and she definitely has it. Angel Reese is unreal. I mean, she would whoop my butt in basketball, man. Holy cow. Would she have 20 rebounds or something like that? Just no, the quality of play in these athletes has really risen too. I mean, you think about watching a game even 10 years ago and the shooters they have out there. It's impressive. And you know what? Sports is supposed to be entertaining. If you want to bring anything else into it, cool. But I said after the game last night, if you didn't enjoy that, then you're just a hater. It was just good sports, man.
Yep.
Good rivalry, good, you know, winner take all moment. It was just a fun game. Yeah, I'm excited too. Clark versus Buckers. It'll be good. I do wonder what in the world they were thinking. No offense to Haley Van Lith, but like making the change for defensive coverage with like 4 minutes left in the game did not make a lot of sense to me. I love that meme of her too, where she literally just throws her hands up like, what am I supposed to do? Awesome. And then, yeah, good stuff. All right, Josh, you're not going to believe what we're going to lead off with. Not just football, but the quarterback. It was obviously a big question heading into this spring. It's a big question every single day people are asking us, and it might be a question all the way till the season begins, right? The name everybody wants to talk about the most, of course, is Alex Orji, who I'll let you get into this, but had a good first week. Maybe it was a rocky week in the second week, right? Mm-hmm. We're literally looking at this day by day. That's how fluid this situation potentially is. We know what he can do in big moments as a runner. We haven't seen him throw the ball. Josiah Stewart today specifically commented on that, saying, hey, I know I see it on social media. He can throw the ball, right? Everything kind of feels like it's around him just because he did play last year. Doesn't seem like there's a situation where he won't play at all. But obviously, Tuttle's been dealing with some injuries. But some of the other guys have had good weeks as well. So where do you see things right now? And again, obviously, no one's predicting a start or anything like that, but just how have things been going as Michigan's working with five different quarterbacks trying to figure out what this depth chart's going to look like?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're looking at, as you said, a day-by-day type of thing. You know, Orji had a really good week the first week of spring practice, and then the second week, last week, I heard that all three kind of, well, three, the main three right now in Denegal, Orji and Warren really kind of all struggled because they are easing Tuttle back into the mix, and I don't think he's fully throwing yet, and everything like that. So that's just what's going to happen. You know, I think the defense at this time of the year is always ahead of the offense. And when you've got a defense as good as what Michigan's defense has been, it's going to be difficult to throw the ball. So I also heard, to be fair, and not to totally just, you know, make a panic or make a scene that no one's stepping up, I did hear on Saturday that the offense got better of the defense during the weekend too. So again, it's the ebbs and flows of this whole thing. And I'm really at this point, you know, there's got to be some pretty significant progress in order for one guy to, you know, emerge as the guy coming out of the spring. And they don't really need to be in a rush to name a guy. You know, you've got all of spring, and then you have all of fall camp too to really nail things down. So, you know, for those kind of wanting a quarterback to step up, I mean, I understand the thought process, but, you know, they don't really necessarily need it. In a sense, I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to see, but it's just the ebbs and flows right now. You know, Orji had a good week last week. Orji had a good week the first week. Denegal had a pretty, I wouldn't say bad week, but he had an off week the first week. And then Orji had a pretty average week last week. And then Denegal stepped up and had a much better week. So it's not going to be, you know, this clear, you know, for those expect, I know obviously Michigan was spoiled with JJ last year. I mean, you knew what you had in JJ, and they just don't have a JJ on their roster this year. And that's, you know, you're talking about a generational quarterback. So you know, I don't think that they're at a position right now where they, you know, are worried at all. You know, they would like someone to step up, but you know, that kind of breeds a little more competition when things are a little more on even playing field. So, you know, if you were forced me to make a pick right now, and it'd be crazy to do this, but I would say probably Orji would be the guy right now. And you know, I don't think that's really a hot take, but you know, Jaden Davis is working his way up too. I mean, he's had a couple of good practices. His arm strength is definitely not at the level of guys like Dunigal and Orji. Orji is definitely leading the way in that regard in terms of arm strength. So, yeah, it's still very early. Again, I think it's a good thing that you do hear that the offense is taking, taking a couple of plays away from the defense, because, you know, they have a far, far more veterans on that side of the ball than they do on offense. So, and you know, the defense should still be pretty good. So, it's, you know, we'll kind of see. I think, you know, if the run game is, you know, continues to be good with Donovan Edwards, you know, the whole, you know, need for an elite passer, you know, you kind of lessen that a little bit. So, we'll see what happens. You know, I think, still a long way to go. Again, we're talking only 2 weeks here worth of information. So there's really nothing that I can, you know, say definitively, but it's just going to be up and down until, you know, it's not, until there's a guy, that is kind of really stepped up. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, the main important part is that, you know, the bullets are live and, you know, all four guys are healthy right now. So, that's a good thing. So again, it's just kind of a wait and see mode. But yeah, I mean, it's just up and down right now, and you know, one guy is going to have a better day than the other, and that's just, I mean, it was like that last year too. I mean, you heard that, you know, Davis Warren had a better day in practice than JJ did at one point. You know, it's it just happens sometimes. So, yeah, it's just wait and see. Patience is the key here.
You just reminded me of a funny tweet from my friend Don Thomas about Davis Warren and JJ McCarthy. But anyway, Brock, what are your thoughts early on here? And it's so funny to me. Fans, I mean, I'm seeing it in the comments already. Fans have picked their horse, which is pretty common. But they're really, really confident and opinionated on this. And we don't know anything about any of these guys, largely. It's funny.
Yeah, that's a risky path to take, picking your horse right away when spring ball is not even over and the spring game hasn't even happened yet. I would encourage fans to just sit back and let it play out, because there's still 5 months until the season starts and a lot can happen between now and then. So including Michigan potentially going to the portal and picking up a quarterback. So you never know what's going to happen. The starting quarterback on August 31st may not even be on the roster right now. So you always have to keep that in the back of your mind. But you know, I've seen a lot of people in the comments talking about how, you know, Alex Orji is just a running back, or he can't really throw the ball. Don't put a lot of faith in a guy who hasn't thrown a whole lot of passes the last few years. But I think I agree with Josh. He's the clear front runner right now. Maybe not clear, but he would be the front runner in my opinion as well.
Yeah. It feels like he's the guy they want to win the job, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I agree. I think
fair way to put it.
Yeah, the staff probably wants him to be the guy to take over. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Like I said, there's still a lot of time until the season starts. But one other comment I have on the quarterbacks, looking at that picture of Jaden Davis there, I love helmet stickers, but that is a beautiful looking helmet.
When you see it without the stickers, you remember how good it is. Yeah.
Yep. That's a beautiful looking helmet. That's about all I have to say left on the quarterbacks.
I didn't like the stickers coming back. And then I really didn't like it when, like, they got so many, it just completely took over the entire helmet. I do think what they do now, where each player gets stickers for wins or specific plays or awards or whatever is cool, because they have this helmet now that becomes their journey at Michigan, if you will.
Yep.
Right. I do think that's kind of cool, but you're right. Look at that thing. And that is the best helmet. It's just not even close. Yeah. It's clean, man. Look, you brought it up, and the transfer portal thing kind of hangs over all of this right now. Hold on. I got to address this, because he said the same thing a million times. Orgy hasn't thrown any passes, not even an attempt, but two seasons. How is that a good sign? Okay. Denegal's thrown, what did he throw, six passes last year in garbage time. Tuttle, yes, he's thrown more passes. He's entering his seventh year, and he's never held a starting job or any level close to that, right? Davis Warren, same thing. He's thrown a few passes. He was injured all of last year. Jane Davis is a freshman. You're right, Orgy hasn't thrown any passes in games. They did call a play for him in Alabama where he was supposed to throw it, and he chose not to because his receiver was in coverage, right? But the bigger thing is they trusted him in those big moments to have the ball. Ohio State, Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, Alabama in the Rose Bowl, and Washington national championship game. They took J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback that Jim Harbaugh said is the best in Michigan football history and arguably about to become a top five NFL pick. They took him off the field in those moments and let Alex Orgy have the ball. I'm with you. We haven't seen him throw it. But that's why people think what they think about Alex Orgy. They've come out and said they believe in him, that he's stepped up in those moments. So if there was, like Josh said, a JJ, right, not only a five-star freshman, but a guy that threw the ball a bunch the year before, it'd be a different conversation. That guy's not on the roster right now. So like Brock said, in the transfer portal, and this is all hypothetical because we don't know who's going to be out there. I'm going to say one name just to give you an idea of what I think Michigan's probably looking at potentially if something comes into the portal. It's a guy like Miller Moss, who's out at USC, who got to play last year because Caleb sat out the bowl game and had this amazing bowl game, right? But Lincoln Riley goes out and gets another quarterback, UNLV, right? I'm drawing a blank now. I can't think of his name. But anyway, goes out and get another quarterback who people think is probably the favorite to start. So that's the kind of player. Maybe Miller Moss doesn't win the job in spring, or it's clear he's not going to, so he jumps in. Or maybe there's a starter like Ohio State took, Will Howard, who struggled at the end of his career and has arguably gotten benched for their version of J.J. McCarthy, the next highly rated recruit that's coming in, and he entered the portal, right? I don't want to say this definitively because I don't know, but I don't think Jalen Milroe is coming in the portal and coming to Michigan. Guys are holding on to something like that. I don't think that's happening. So unless a name, a surefire starter, and I know there's a couple names people are hoping, unless something like that jumps in, Michigan's probably adding another name to compete, not necessarily a guaranteed starter. Is that fair, Josh? Or honestly, I know the coaches aren't going to talk about it. I haven't heard any rumblings of super interest watching that portal for a QB either.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's been discussions and of the such, but nothing that really would make me believe that it's for sure going to happen in terms of adding in the portal. And again, we don't know who's coming, who's going. So, you know, it's premature to
knowing full well there's a chance that some star will enter the portal tomorrow and make me look like an idiot. It has happened before. But
yeah, it all just comes down to the kind of waiting and seeing what happens. And, you know, the April 15th is not too far away. It's coming up quick. So, and you know, if you're talking about grad transfers too, realistically, anyone could, you know, transfer when you're talking about grad transfers. But I think the big thing. Right now. Yeah, exactly. And I think the big thing with when you're talking about Orgy's lack of or stats or anything, you know, in terms of passing in real life games, you know, excuse me, Michigan has, 3 years of tape on Orgy. You know, they have 3 years of tape on Denegal, and you know, they've trusted Orgy enough to, you know, by watching the tape and seeing him evolve in practice, to give him some time and some critical moments. So it's not like they have no idea what kind of passing ability that Orji has. I mean, yeah, practice and live reps in practice,
right,
is completely different than in-game results. But
and you've got Tech week two, so you don't have a lot of time to let him grow on the field either. That's an interesting thing about the schedule this year.
Yeah, and that's kind of the bad part. I mean, I know fans wanted a better looking schedule. Now you got it, but timing isn't all that great. But you know, it is what it is. But yeah, again, it's only week two, and we're in April. You know, it's a long way away from August and September. So anything can happen, something could happen tomorrow that makes this conversation completely moot at this point. Yep. So
we found out about Rod Moore's injury in the middle of last week's podcast. So
right.
Right here.
Right. So at this point, yeah, it's just, you know, kind of wait and see. And I know for the people that, you know, are making these facts that, you know, that Michigan doesn't have a quarterback or anything like that, I encourage you to join their staff and create your own quarterback too. If you'd like, you're welcome to do that. And I'm sure the results would be just as good as what they're doing right now. So, you know, I think these guys get paid millions of dollars to get it figured out. And I think, you know, they're going to figure it out somehow. So again, we're in April. I'm not worried about it. I was just laughing the other day too, because I was laughing about the run game freakout that people were having week three. I was sitting there going, don't even worry about it. I'm not worried about it. And you know, I would love to take a victory lap for that, just because some people are absolutely morons when it comes to freaking out and stuff. But, you know, people just don't know patience. They don't have patience. And, you know, they expect the second coming to just, you know, trot out on the field every year. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, you don't produce JJ McCarthy's every year. It just doesn't happen that way. Yeah, there's going to be drop off with Michigan this year. I mean, sorry to break some news and break some hearts here, but you know, Michigan doesn't have as much talent from last year to this year. It's just not that way yet. And you know, it is what it is. So maybe there might be some drop off at the quarterback position. But again, the way Michigan runs its offense, they don't need a guy that can, you know, drop a pass into a bucket from 60 yards out. They just need a guy that can control the offense and can lead scoring drives. Don't turn the ball over. That's like the main three. I mean, this is going to be a Jim Harbaugh kind of offense, and the type of quarterback that is successful in Jim Harbaugh's offense is one that doesn't turn the ball over, that can throw the intermediate to medium passes, and not necessarily dink and dunk, but it's just enough that can lead a team down the field and score points. And again, I think Orji's capable of that. I think Denigal's capable of that. I don't think you're just going to see, you know, a 50-yard crossbody throw into a window. It's just arm talent. It's rare. That's rare arm talent that JJ McCarthy had, and they just don't have that. And that's okay. They don't need to have that. Would they like to have that? Yes, but it's just reality. Reality is what it is. And I don't think they have a guy that has that kind of arm talent, but that's okay. They can make it work. I think Michigan is set up to make another run for a Big Ten championship. I think with the way the playoffs have opened up, I think they can make another run in the playoffs. Their defense is going to be good again, and that defense could keep any team in the game, any offense in the game. So that's kind of my tangent done there. But I just, you know, again, we're in April. Just wait and see how this shapes out.
I would just say one last thing for quarterbacks is that I think this upcoming season, the 2024 year, is going to be a pretty significant drop off in terms of quarterback talent from what we've seen in college football the last few years. I think PFF put out their like best returning player at each position, and the best returning quarterback was Carson Beck. And he doesn't, and for me personally, he doesn't move the needle very much. So I do think if Michigan were to look into the portal, you're not going to get a guaranteed starter. So like you were saying, Trevor, whoever they may bring in is probably going to have to compete no matter what. And you're not going to be able to pull some guy from the portal if in 2 weeks from now, a quarterback committed. I don't think there's really anyone in college football right now that could commit to Michigan, and you would say from the day they committed, they'd be the guaranteed starter in the season opener. I don't think that's the case, because I think anyone that's talented enough to be at their school in college football right now would stay there. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens in terms of the portal or what Michigan looks to do. But I don't think there's a quarterback that would transfer to Michigan and tomorrow be the starting quarterback. I don't think that person exists.
You got people fired up with your Carson Beck take.
He was
pretty good at the end of last year. He's pretty good.
All right. But he's all right.
I know what you mean. As the best quarterback in college football returning, that's not necessarily the names you've seen in the past, but yeah, he was all right
last year. Okay. Yeah. I don't think he's not a big name yet. Maybe he was good near the end of the year, but I don't think he's anything like we've seen in college football the last few years.
I mean, Georgia's getting to that point where it's like, and I don't mean this about Beck specifically, but it feels like any quarterback's going to do really well at Georgia. I mean, they are just a rolling machine at this point. Obviously losing, Brock Bowers is going to be a big deal, but I mean, they're the modern day, what Bama used to be, you know, but before Saban started getting the big recruits at quarterback, he had Greg McElroy behind a beast offensive line with some weapons, can run the ball. Just it's a system a quarterback can succeed in. Not very different than what Michigan's trying to do, right? So speaking of offensive line, speaking of running game, I want to get into a couple pieces of that real quick here, and then talk a little defense and we can get into some hockey. Last week we talked about the offensive line, the position battles that seem to be more left versus right. But depth is developing there, and it's exciting. We've talked about needing 10 offensive linemen, not five, and the coaches continue to mention some of these other names, and it's intriguing what's happening there. I think the story of the week has probably been Miles Hinton, who at this point, I mean, he's the left tackle, right? This isn't even it is a competition. He's got to win the job. But it's very clear they want Miles Hinton to be the left tackle.
Yep.
He said some things today about how he feels with his comfort level at that spot. He looked noticeably thinner to me in the media appearance today as well. So he's healthy. We know the coaches have had the same line on him for a little while now, which is his potential is sky high, like one of the best tackles in the country, sky high. We've seen him do flashes of those kinds of plays. He's just got to do it every time. He's just got to get consistent.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. I mean, he looked today. He said today that he's far more comfortable at left than he was at right. He played left in high school, played left 1 year at Stanford before they bumped him over to right, and that's kind of where he's stayed ever since. But Michigan knocked him back to left, and by all accounts, he's looking really, really good. As you mentioned, I mean, noticeably thinner. I mean, even in just this photo alone, you're talking noticeably thinner, and more built. And again, credit to the Michigan strength and conditioning program. It just keeps churning out studs that can, you know, they're built, you know, and I definitely think he's got all the potential in the world. And, you know, he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. I mean, they don't just give out five stars to, to anyone. So there's definitely, a baseline there. And I don't think he's anything close to that baseline yet. And yeah, and I'm almost ready to kind of write him in pen and at left tackle. The right tackle is kind of where things get a little more interesting, but again, like left, there's a lot to like there. It just kind of turns out and ends up being who is going to take that right tackle spot. And they have options, which is good. I think that you can kind of say that for pretty much every spot on the offensive line is that they have options. I mean, center, you've got Raheem Anderson. You're hoping that you don't dip into Jake Guarnera. I mean, I think he needs some time to develop and stuff, but even at right tackle, and you're hearing Blake Frazier's name pop up now, all of a sudden, getting a shout out. I don't think he's at the point where he's ready. I think he's going to be a very good tackle for Michigan in the future, but hearing his name pop up a couple of times, it's definitely intriguing. But again, you got to really like what Michigan could have at the tackle position. When you're talking about if Miles Hinton reaches his potential and also Andrew Gentry reaching his potential too. I mean, I think ideally they want Gentry to start just because his potential is so high. Of course Percy is good too, and he's waited his turn and is ready to, and I think they would be just fine with Percy playing at right too. But when you're talking about Gentry, they've just been salivating over this guy for years now. So, man, I mean, you've got two really high ceiling guys that could reach their potential this year. I think you're talking about a really good Michigan offensive line when you've got Greg Crippen in the center, who, again, could have started last year and did start at one point last year too in place of Drake Nugent. So, again, it's kind of a lot of spots on this team is, man, if this guy reaches his potential, this could be this. It's on a lot of positions on Michigan, not just the offensive line or defensive line. I just think if Michigan can find that and dip into that talent pool, Michigan's going to be a really good team again this year with a lot of bright talent that could really step up here in the years ahead. But Gentry, to me, is probably the more intriguing guy on the offensive line. Preeb I think he's on the right, and El Hadi on the left.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that because there was a little interesting nugget from hitting on that today.
But. So again, it's there's a lot, if you can get your bookends to reach their potential and play really solid football, I think you're talking about another really solid offensive line. And by all accounts, Grant Newsom is doing a fantastic job coaching and on the recruiting trail too. So, I don't want to say Michigan lucked into having a guy like Newsom in there, but when you're going from Sharon Moore to Grant Newsom and not having any drop off there, I mean, obviously we'll find out, but I mean, I think that'd be huge.
Yeah. And, the last few weeks when we talked about this, we've all kind of agreed that the interior of the offensive line in some order is going to be Preeb, Crippen, and El Hadi. We kind of all have that written in pen. And Josh, if we run with your thought of nearly putting Miles Hinton there at left tackle in pen, that basically leaves Andrew Gentry and Jeff Percy battling for that right tackle position. And I think that would be huge for Michigan coming out of spring ball. Obviously, we don't know exactly what the staff is thinking at every moment, but if Michigan can have four of their five offensive linemen set coming out of spring ball, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
And maybe if it's not even out of spring ball, but entering into fall camp, that's big. And they definitely weren't in that spot last year. We know that for a fact. They were still moving pieces around and things like that, trying to find the right five guys that gelled. But from the three of us who cover the team, we kind of all agree that, if Miles Hinton is penned in there at left tackle, like you said, Josh, it would be almost certainly Andrew Gentry and Jeff Percy. They're battling for right tackle, which I think is just really big for Michigan. Mm-hmm. It gives you a sense of comfort almost, knowing that you're rolling in, getting close to the season, knowing at least the top six guys, and you just have to find the two or find the one guy out of two at right tackle rather than, they were moving guys all over the place last year trying to figure out who was going to be where. So that's really big in my opinion. And Trevor, if I know you were hinting at that little nugget that Miles Hinton said, but if you put up that picture that you had before.
Yeah. So that's what caught me off guard because one, every single photo we've seen has shown, oh, I'm clicking it, but not sharing it. Sorry. Has shown Preeb at left guard next to Hinton. And El Hadi, who is expected to be the other guard, Giovanni El Hadi, his entire tenure has been at left guard too, but Preeb started for 2 years at left guard, right? So it kind of seemed like, oh, maybe he's sliding out to the right. But yeah, Miles Hinton today said that it's been Gio next to him on the left side. Now, that said, I think there's rotation going on. Crippen, who I would almost call a lock to start at center, they've moved him to some of the guard spots. Newsom has talked about wanting to find the five best offensive linemen and then organize from there. While I think that's true, I do think it's pretty obvious, like we've been saying, where some guys are going to end up slotting in at. So I thought that was interesting, the note with Gio at left, because Josh, we've also heard that Nate Afobe is a guy who's been pushing El Hadi for potentially a starting job at the guard spot. Sounds like he might be the guy, again, penciled in very early, blah, blah, blah. But he's a guy who's looking like at least maybe that sixth offensive lineman role that Michigan loves to utilize, not only in jumbo packages, but also just flexibility in terms of starting on the line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely depth being built out. Even Amir Herring's name has been brought up a couple of times too. So there's names, you know, and we've almost hit on 10 names. I think I haven't been paying attention, but it's pretty close to 10 names. You know, so I think there's options there. I mean, if worst case scenario is that if Crippen does, if they do decide, hey, let's play Crippen at guard, you know, Raheem Anderson can take over at center too. And they really like Raheem Anderson.
Another guy I think doesn't have a spot. Like there's just, even with six starter level players leaving, there are still talented offensive linemen that are arguably blocked.
Yeah. It's crazy. Wild. It's wild. So, I mean, yeah, the ultimate test is going to be, you know, come the season time, but it really seems to like, they're not just, you know, saying stuff just to say it, you know, they're really confident in their guys. And I know Grant Newsom, you know, he was asked about having the 10 guys and he said, you know, we're pretty far into this thing and of where, you know, this like depth is coming from. So, and I think they have it. And I mean, who knows who their sixth guy is going to be. I mean, technically the loser of the Gentry and Percy battle could technically be the jumbo sixth guy too, on top of a Afobe. So there's depth on the depth, you know, there's this, you have depth for a sixth guy too, which is just crazy. So I think the offensive line was probably the one position I wasn't worried about considering the losses. I mean, yeah, you're replacing a brand new group of guys. And I think, you know, this is probably going to be one of the most important coaching jobs of Grant Newsom's career, regardless of how well he has it. But yeah, there's just a lot to like there. And you know, they'll be adding freshmen in coming the summer too. So, and you know, there's guys like, you know, Tristan Bounds that is still out there that, you know, haven't really been mentioned, but is part of the conversation. It's just, they have options. And I think that's the best case scenario for this team and replacing so many guys is just having options. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you've got three or four guys right now that you can count on and write in pen in that starting group, you know, 2 weeks in the spring is only going to bode well for, you know, building out the rest of that line moving forward. And you can pretty much almost say the same thing for the defensive line too. I mean, there's numbers there, but yeah, it's just exciting. It's exciting to think, you know, and that's one less position you have to worry about. You know, if a really good offensive line can make up for a lot of inefficiencies on offense, and that goes with the quarterbacks and as well as the running backs too. I mean, a really, really good offensive line can help a quarterback that's not as talented or as has this type of tools as the quarterback that you had last year. So, yeah, a lot to like there. You know, the offensive line future is exciting. I mean, even just beyond this year too. I mean, you're going to have a lot of familiar faces back. We'll have to replace guys, but the way that Michigan is been working the portal, especially on the offensive line, I mean, I have no worries about, you know, having to replace guys or plugging in guys. I just think the culture that's been established is just going to continue on with Grant Newsom, and who knows, maybe get even better.
Yeah, two more things I want to add really quick that you guys kind of jog my memory while you were talking. For me personally, I think players like Nathan Afobe and Amir Herring, I'll have to see that to believe it. I just think as second-year players, I can't remember if either of them redshirted or if they're true sophomores at this point, but for either of them to beat out a guy like Giovanni Elhadi or Josh Preeb for a guard spot, or Greg Crippen, all these guys, like we've talked about all spring, these guys have waited their turn. They've been in the system for a long time. Their bodies are just more developed, I feel like, as older players rather than you know, second year guys, just, I don't know, 15 months out of high school or something, right? So that's personally where I'm at in terms of that. I'll have to see that to believe it. And if Sharon Moore wants to invite us out to a press practice to see how that's working out, I'd love to go and be there for that. But
great joke.
And then going back to your comment, Josh, about the offensive line, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys heard Harbaugh's comment the other day. He was talking about how the offensive line is the only position group on the field where every other position group depends on it. And if the offensive line is good, everything else has the ability to be good. But if the offensive line is bad, things will go south pretty quickly. And he said that's the only position group on the field where every other position relies on the offensive line. And I think that's pretty classic Jim Harbaugh stuff. And I think that's exactly what Sharon Moore is thinking too. So it'll be exciting to see what happens.
Well, we've seen the success for Michigan in the last 3 years, and it's no secret. The change came from a mentality in a lot of ways, getting back to the previous Harbaugh, but on the offensive line. I want to get to the defensive side, like Josh said, but you know, the last point I'll touch on with these guys battling at right tackle, both of them, Percy in a previous year and Gentry last year, have played multiple spots, right? Percy got a start at left tackle, replacing Ryan Hayes in 2022, mm-hmm. Played some right guard last year. Gentry played every spot but center last year. So these are guys that are versatile. They're athletic. You know, Percy's been around the program for a while. You brought up Tristan Bounds too, Josh. I don't think people realize both of those dudes are huge.
Yeah.
they're big dudes, man. Yeah, and again, in another program, who knows, you know, what opportunities they would have had. Percy's a guy that people don't know a ton about, but he's really, really good. And Gentry's a guy that, look, former top 100 recruit, right? He took 2 years off, part of his mission trip, and this is year three he's coming into with Michigan. Now, we've said it before, he's, you know what, 23 years old, right? So he's 6'8", too, I think, or 6'7". 320 or something. I mean, these are all big athletic dudes that just need reps. And then to Brock's point, the continuity, I think that's so massive. I know they're moving some guys around right now, and we've talked about the left and right guard thing with Preeb and Ahadi and figuring this out. I'd like to see them feel pretty good, at least going into summer and definitely by fall. I don't want another bleed into the regular season with the offensive line, especially with all new starters. I think the more reps those guys get at the one, the better, especially like we said with Texas week two, right? You don't have a lot of time to figure things out. So Josh brought it up, and this isn't a shock. Michigan has a good defensive line. Okay. Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, a lot of attention with both of those guys coming back. Both have shut down transfer rumors pretty directly so far in spring camp. They didn't address it a ton because why would you previously, but both stated why they're still here and you know what their path forward is at Michigan. I want to talk about the edge though, and the two guys that are going to lead the way. That's Derek Moore and Josiah Stewart. And Josiah Stewart, we got to see today. I was really impressed with some things he said about what he learned from the previous year and the step up he's hoping to take as a player. Made a lot of comments though about as a leader and bringing other guys along with him. Mm-hmm. Specifically, TJ Guy is a name we've heard about, arguably backing him up on the weak side. And then the two, again, I'd have to look. I don't remember off the top of my head if it's sophomores or redshirt freshmen, like Brock said, but Enoetta and Cam Brandt both continue to get shout outs as well as far as playing in the rotation. I think Etta is going to get into that 2021 Mike Morris role. I think they like him on the strong side, but he can move inside really well and play like that three technique. He's going to be super versatile, a guy that can play all over the defensive line. But rotations or not, these two dudes are going to lead the way. And Stewart took on Agent Zero, the number he wore at Coastal Carolina. I thought it was funny. He said he tried to get it from Mikey Sainter still last year, and he basically told him, hell no. Gave him his blessing to wear it this year. But look, you're going to have attention on you anyway, but that number, I mean, Mike Sainter still made it legendary in 1 year, basically, well, 2 years, but has made that number legendary, and you're bringing more attention on you. And Stewart seems to enjoy that, not just as a player, but again, as a leader. Feels like he's taking a leap here as a senior, but year two here in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those two guys, I mean, you're talking about, you know, they have the potential to be one of the best duos in the country. I mean, even the best interior, you know, with Mason and Kenneth, probably not even probably, they're the best duo defensive tackles in the country too. So, you know, both guys have NFL draft pick quality written all over them. You know, I think, you know, Josiah Stewart has a chance to really kind of cement his status as a high drafted guy. If you can get some production off the edge there, I think those two guys have just been, you know, running the show. You know, and again, I think it's all now just about building depth. I mean, we all know what both of those guys can bring, all four of those guys really. So again, you hope Enoetta steps up and I just, his name just keeps coming up unprompted. Not even asking about him. You know, Trey Pierce is there too, a young guy on the interior. Cameron Brandt, another guy too, that saw a little bit of playing time early last year. So there's, again, it's very similar to the offensive line, is where you have guys that you can write in and pen. But if you have specific guys who can kind of hit that ceiling that they have, or even, you know, blast through the ceiling, you know, they're going to have a hell of a lot of production from that offense or defensive line beyond those four guys. You know, maybe there's more snaps that, oh, let's just hit my mouse. Maybe there's more snaps beyond what's available, you know, what was available last year, and which maybe, you know, gives more opportunities to, you know, have the main four guys kind of see more snaps than last year. But again, there's so much talent on that defensive line group. It's just, it's crazy if they can hit on that type of trajectory that they're on. And, you know, the addition of Lou Esposito, I think is the more I read about it, the more I think about it, I really like it. I really like his addition. Knows how to develop talent, knows how to identify talent. Yeah, I mean, guys like Braden Fisk or whatever went on to have successful careers elsewhere, but you know, those were guys that weren't really highly recruited. They brought that Western Michigan brought in and eventually they moved on. So I think that's a really good hire. And I think that'll play into someone like, you know, Etta's development really well, is just, you know, Esposito really just working with these guys. So yeah, I mean, there's really not much more I can add outside of, you know, Etta's getting a ton of hype and I'm buying into the stock. I'm all in on the stock too. So it's just, yeah, there's a lot to like there. And again, as I said, if they hit that, if they hit that ceiling, they're going to be a really damaging defensive line for not just this season, but years to come as well.
Yeah, like you said, Josh, this is a group where, barring any injuries or anything else, you know the four guys on the defensive line that are running out there on the first defensive snap of the season. And that's obviously Josiah Stewart, Derek Moore, and then Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. You know, now that Michigan has those four guys set and you know who your starters are going to be, I feel like it's then easier to work in and, like you were talking about, develop guys like Enoeta, TJ Guy, Cam Brandt, Trey Pierce, all those guys, get them developed and then build up that so-called second unit to make it stronger and things like that. So, I mean, lot to be excited about. I see right here Adam saying that Josiah Stewart and Derek Moore are both going to get double-digit sacks. I wouldn't rule that out. I would not rule that out at all. That's bold because, I mean, you're talking about like Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo type of production there out of those two guys. But I would not rule it out, especially if they wreak havoc in the non-conference games. You know, it'll be harder now that Texas is an opponent, but it's possible for sure to see both of them reaching 10.
I've already said Josiah Stewart is double-digit sack for me this year. He did it as a freshman at Coastal Carolina. They moved him into kind of a weird rover position where he lost weight and just wasn't doing the same thing anymore. He gained weight last year. He looks bigger and stronger than ever. And he's always had this undersized tag on him. And then you just see him absolutely bully offensive linemen. The Alabama game, last play of the game, right? Just absolutely backs his linemen up. He's added some more technique as well. You know, between him and Harrell, I think it was 14 sacks combined between the two of them. So as much as I think TJ Guy can be a part of the rotation, it's not going to be 50-50 like it was last year. I just don't see that. Stewart's going to have a gap there. You're going to want to keep him fresh and rotate, but I think he's going to play significantly more snaps, which more opportunities, right? And Derek Moore, same thing, split snaps with Braden McGregor last year. I like Enoeta a lot. I posted, I think it was like 3 weeks ago, about get on the hype train now, because the same thing Josh said, his name just keeps coming up. And sometimes it comes up, you know, when I did my position breakdown, somebody messaged me like, hey, here's kind of what we're hearing about him. But other than that, if I'm just like, hey, have you heard, dude, Etta, his name keeps coming up. So, and not in a, you know, you see coaches and guys sometimes hype dudes up in a way that they're trying to motivate him. This is just people are really excited to talk about, you know, Etta and his potential on that line. So, and again, the interior, we didn't even get into a healthy Rayshon Penny and what he's going to mean. Yeah. It's a tackle. Yeah. I mean, that front is going to be just outrageous. Quick thing I wanted to touch on, something else Josiah Stewart said today that kind of conflicts with something we heard last week that raised some eyebrows. When he was asked, Makari Page a week or so ago was asked about the defense and whether it's, you know, how different it is with Wink compared to Minter. And he raised some eyebrows and said, yeah, it's totally different. His response was so like off-putting. Our friend Isaiah Hole literally asked him like, are you serious? I feel like you're messing with me. Yeah. Right? Like, because it was like, what? It's totally different. And we hypothesized, look, he was one of the guys that did not get moved around a ton. Last year, he was pretty locked into his strong safety role. Didn't get sent on blitzes a ton. Wasn't a guy that, you know, was just moved. So I wondered, okay, maybe his position's changing more. Is it, you know, he's being asked to step up in a different way. Because I was shocked to see him say it was totally different. Today, yeah. Josiah Stewart was probably more in line with what I expected, which is, yeah, some of the terminology's changed, right? Just some of the way we talk about specific blitzes or coverages. But, you know, Wink's putting, I can't remember his exact words, but, you know, Wink's putting his own fingerprint on it, if you will, but he doesn't expect it to be that different. weird to hear that that gap between two starters, but maybe I want to believe Stewart more. I don't know. Just kind of interesting, Josh. I didn't know if you had any thoughts on that or if you've heard anything.
Yeah, I think, I mean, a little bit probably has to do with individual roles too and how they view their own roles, like you mentioned. You know, they might move Makari Page around a little more, and you know, Stewart's goal is just to go get the quarterback. You know, I mean, it is his rule, his you know, outline for what his position doesn't really change from scheme to scheme, except maybe some gap schemes and things like that. But his ultimate goal stays the same. He has to go get the quarterback and, you know, go get the running back. So I do know that they are pretty heavily blitzing during the first couple of weeks, which has gotten the best of the offense a couple of times, and which isn't exactly allowing the offense to gel, so to speak. But yeah, as P. Maximus here, I was just about to mention this, he nails it. Wink is giving these guys what it's going to be like in the NFL. Exactly. I mean, this is what Michigan is running, is an NFL scheme. And, you know, you've got an NFL coordinator running your offense, and that's what's going to happen. So you're going to have a very, you know, every role in that defense is going to be different. And again, Wink isn't Mike McDonald. Mike McDonald isn't Jesse Minner, and Jesse Minner isn't Wink. So you're going to have you're going to have different philosophies. You're going to have just different ways of doing things. So do I think the offense is going to be night and day different? No. You know, maybe you can add a wrinkle of adding blitzing in there because they have guys who can blitz, you know, and you've got linebackers who can blitz too. So, you know, adding that extra wrinkle, yeah, probably puts a little bit of pressure on a newish secondary, but you've got guys to do it. You may as well do it. So, and if you can add new things into a old scheme that now people have a couple of years of tape worth into, it changes things a bit. It still kind of takes the predictability factor out of it a little bit too. So, and of course, you know, Wink has a lot of years of tendencies and things like that on film, but you know, Michigan is still trying to, you know, will find its way and use the talent it has. And the talent they have this year varies from the years past. So the needs, the defense are going to change. So I don't think it's going to be as what Makari put it, as night and day. But, you know, ultimately we'll see.
Yeah. When I was writing that article from Makari Page saying the defense was totally different, I was writing it because it was what he said. I got to write about what he said, but I was just as surprised as you guys were to hear that. And it was pretty shocking, honestly. I was like, what is he talking about? Because, you know, all we heard about was that Wink Martindale was the OG of the system, as he called it. Right. So it's impossible to imagine that it could have been much different, but
I should have never gave me Twitter.
Oh man, it's good stuff. You guys mind if I answer Adam's question in here?
I was going to ask Josh if we're allowed to.
Oh yeah, because they don't. Okay. Yeah, because they don't. They don't allow. Yeah.
They limit you to five minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to keep it under 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, we're not allowed to post any content from press over 5 minutes. Sometimes they will allow us to do each player session separately, and sometimes they combine it. So, like, you literally only have 5 minutes for maybe multiple people. Yeah. So,
To do anything like that would be doing us a favor, and that's asking for way too much from
me. I didn't want to get Josh too fired up, so I was hesitant.
it doesn't get me fired up anymore. I mean, because I'm just used to it, but like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's not even an anime, it's not even an AD thing. It's just a ridiculous rules thing.
It's the rule of the athletic department,
right? So. But it's not coming and to it's stop not Ward at, it's not Ward yeah. for God's sake it is yeah. not Ward.
But they it and it's not just out there, like, they hold us to it. Josh has a funny story. We posted once, it was 5 minutes and what, 4 seconds?
Oh yeah, I've gotten a couple of
We got an email about it. So yeah, they don't mess around. But nothing more than 5 minutes.
I've gotten a couple of wrist slaps in my day.
Yeah. That's why, like, the Rose Bowl and some different events that technically aren't Michigan. It's like you see people at the press events that normally aren't there, and you see these longer videos and stuff like that, because it's just access we normally don't.
Well, I just think it's funny that like schools like Ohio State and Alabama can just give you free reign for practices, and you know, we're just sitting here going, wow, we'd love just a morsel. Please give us a morsel.
Yeah.
Give me a morsel of practice, please. That's why people have to rely on nuggets. And, you know, it's, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, actually, it encourages us to do maybe the behind the scenes things they don't love, right? Which is us try to find. Yeah, I'll be interested to see. I've already noticed, I mean, just in the videos that they've posted, which I was bored and I used the terms, I went into Pruder film on one of those 40-second clips the other day and literally was going frame by frame trying to see like what I could pull from it or whatever. But that's what we've got. So I've noticed they have put out a little bit more, and we'll see if Sherrone Moore gets comfortable. Maybe he'll be a little bit more open and bring the submarine up to the surface, if you will.
You got jokes. Both of you guys got jokes today. I've been doing this for over 10 years. I've gone through multiple coaches. It ain't happening.
I thought it was a bit. I thought it was a Jim Harbaugh thing, but I guess it's just a Michigan thing.
Harbaugh's another level.
Call it Fort Schembechler for a reason under Lloyd Carr.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just been passed on at this point.
Yeah.
Right. But
tradition unlike any other.
Harbaugh's favorite thing that I loved was like literally telling some people like different versions of a rumor to see what got leaked so he could figure out who was telling people, like, dude. But I just saw a question. Where did it go? McPhee, is Pernell McPhee hire official? Yes, right?
I'm pretty sure it's official. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about him yet, but I'm pretty sure it's.
I know while Scruggs was gone, which has been all spring camp, obviously, before Esposito comes in. It does, doesn't it? That's so funny. LaTroy Lewis and is it Kevin Wilkins? I get the brothers.
Yeah, Kevin Wilkins.
Kevin Wilkins have been working with the defensive line. Wilkins has specifically been handling the edge guys. His background's in edge outside linebackers. And LaTroy Lewis has been working with defensive tackles, which for about half of a second, you see a clip of him and Mason Graham in one of those social media clips that Michigan put out. So, it's chugging along. Spring camp, we are continuing to get nuggets like we talked about it and some intel, and we're having these conversations at the Den, michigan.rivals.com. Make sure you're in there contributing to the conversation, asking questions. Josh has been doing basically an every Friday kind of thing, putting everything together with a good Friday news dump, if you will, of info he's been hearing from camp. And if you haven't watched or if you haven't been paying attention, we are very fortunate to have Jim Scarselli on our team, who is somebody who has been at Michigan practices and has been bringing back a lot of information. He did a show with Dennis. It was like almost 2 hours last week. So make sure you're liking and subscribing the YouTube channel, notification bell. Dennis goes live during the day. He has Jim on very often, and former Michigan player, guy that's been around the program, guy that knows Harbaugh well, knows the staff well, just knows the program like the back of his hand. And he's getting us some firsthand info out of practices. So keep up with Josh, and then of course keep up with Dennis and Jim on that show as well. All right, I got to get into hockey. We have to. So I don't know how else to lead off, but I'm gonna play this goal real quick is what I'm gonna do. So it felt like Brock, I'm gonna let you go first on this, Josh, if that's okay. Just I think Brock knows more than both of us combined, probably.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Go for it. This has just been the last few weeks, a lot of Michigan doing things they haven't done all year in terms of winning games when they weren't up in the first period, winning games when they were down in the third period, winning games when they, you know, like they've just been finding ways to win. I have been incredibly, I don't know what word I want to use, but Trey Augustine, for those that don't know, Michigan State's goalie, incredible goalie, future Detroit Red Wing coming back next year. Was a Michigan commit at one point, right? Flips to Michigan State. And I've kind of unfairly said that's been the difference between Michigan State's success this year and Michigan maybe not being at the level they could be. It's just been goalkeeping. If they had kept Augustine, blah, blah, blah. Michigan has been keeping goals out of the net. in the last few weeks. They got five. Well, four on Augustine. One was an empty netter. Look, it's hard to beat a team five times in 1 year. I think a lot of people felt confident about Michigan in this draw here. But what a win in front of 1,800 people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's big time stuff there. Two Michigan schools battling it out in Missouri in front of, yeah, like you said, 1,800 people. But, yeah, I mean, Michigan hockey. Yeah, play this goal from Frank Nazar III.
Just ridiculous.
The pass.
The balls on that guy to do that in that spot.
At that moment, yeah. Dude, right? Yeah. You just went up 3-2. And look at this.
Unreal.
And Brindley driving it home. That was his second goal of the game, right? Nazar had two assists, I believe, as well. Duke had two assists. Look at this.
Yep.
That's the Michigan 2.0.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, obviously that was the goal that put them up by two, and then Michigan got another one later. But somehow they keep finding ways to win. And sometimes it doesn't even make any sense because just about a month ago, this team was on the bubble. I mean,
yeah, we're looking at pairwise every day.
Yeah. This team was not confident they were going to make it to the NCAA tournament. They picked up a few big wins late in the year. Obviously, had a good run in the Big Ten tournament. Obviously, ended up losing to Michigan State at Munn in East Lansing in the championship in overtime. It was a great game, but somehow I don't know. This is now 3 years in a row they made it to the Frozen Four, and this one might even be the most impressive. Because you don't have the Hobie Baker winner and Adam Fantilli on the team anymore. You don't have that star, right? It's been a much more of a team effort for Michigan this year. And like I said, they were on the bubble. A few losses would have knocked them out. But if I remember right, they beat Minnesota once or twice.
They split with Minnesota and then the Notre Dame sweep. That was kind of like, yep. All right, they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And then obviously getting to the Big Ten championship, it was a lock at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So it very impressive stuff from Brandon Nerado. I mean, it's been very, very impressive. And I saw someone asked about Seamus Casey and his availability for the national semifinal game against Boston College. I'd be surprised if he doesn't play. I saw a picture of the team yesterday or earlier today, maybe, and it didn't look like he had, I don't know what the injury is. I haven't seen any reports on what he's dealing with, but he didn't have like a cast or anything, a boot.
Yeah. I thought they were just holding him out as precaution because he went out after the first period against North Dakota. And then I just thought maybe it was a precautionary thing, but I don't know.
Yeah. But this week and a half or so between games, between the Michigan State game and the Boston College game, that's going to be huge for him. So I'd be very, very surprised if he wasn't ready to go and play. But yeah, this is the round where Michigan's been knocked out the last 2 years. They lost last year to Quinnipiac and the year before to Minnesota. Nah, it may have been Minnesota 2 years ago. It was Quinnipiac last year for sure. And the year before it was, I'm drawing a blank too. I have a feeling it was Minnesota, but,
they lost to Minnesota at some point. I remember.
Someone fact checked that on me, but this is the round when Michigan's lost. So this is go time for Brandon Nerado and the team. Try and get to that national championship. And
that OT game with Denver. That's right.
Oh, Denver. That's right. Yeah. That was Denver. So the overtime period was 20 minutes long and Denver scored with like 5 minutes left in overtime. So like 75 minutes of hockey and Denver didn't commit one penalty. Michigan didn't go on the power play the entire game. And
yeah, that's crazy.
I think that's kind of what cost them, but I remember that game now. But yeah, I mean, this is it for Michigan. I want to say, you know, I'm not a Michigan hockey expert. I've only recently been following and covering the team. I want to say their last national championship appearance was 2011.
Championship appearance? I thought you were going to say win because
they won in 98.
Yeah.
Hold up. Same year as this guy. Right here.
Yep.
I mean, how would that be for, I mean, you can't write that, right, Josh? The
Michigan
football wins the national championship hockey in the same year.
Yep.
After coming back from 97, 98.
Yeah, I remember 2011 because I was heading home from Florida with my parents, and we were listening to it on the way home. And like, that was a good game because that one went into overtime too.
Yep. Minnesota Duluth overtime. And yep. Brock, you're right. That is the last national championship. Obviously they've been to, I think it's eight. Let me see. Yeah. Eight Frozen Fours since winning the national championship.
Wow.
98. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the big piece of this is got to win it all, man.
Yeah.
One of these times, you know, football, kind of broke through what was a stretch of being the bridesmaid, right? We saw the basketball team get to two Final Fours, two national championships, including 2013. That block was clean. We talked about JT was short a lot. That block was clean, and that was way worse, man. Baseball wins the first game against Vanderbilt and then loses two and wins the championship, right? So it is interesting, though. Josh, if you want to answer, just let Brock take over. You're fine. Somebody brought it up in the comments, and they're completely right. Michigan has looked like a national championship caliber team at moments this year.
Mm-hmm.
It also looked like a team that shouldn't be in the tournament.
Yeah.
It's been that consistency.
You got two,
you know, you're in the Frozen Four here. You got two games.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're there for a reason, right? You're there in the Frozen Four for a reason. You're a good team, but yeah, they can't let their inconsistent side show these next, you know, whatever they win these next two games or whatever. They can't be, they got their goaltending has to be strong. And I think that's kind of their big issue. It's just been goaltending at times and just let in some really soft goals. And that also goes to the defense as well. I mean, you got to protect your goalie and you got to keep, you know, the puck out in front of your net. But they just can't, if they could continue on playing like they have been, they can compete with anyone. I mean, they've shown, you know, they got over that Michigan State hump that looked like that was their really the big elephant in the room for them that they were able to vanquish. And the sky's the limit for this team. And Brandon Nerado, man, I mean, he's, man, to almost, I don't even want to say luck into having a guy like that, you know, on your staff and luck into having him be an interim to head coach like that. I mean, I think it's a very fortuitous bounce. As much as Michigan tried to screw up that whole process, they lucked into maybe an arguably a better coach, but he absolutely deserves coach of the year honors. I mean, if he doesn't get it this year, that's an absolute crime, but man, he knows how to recruit. Knows how to recruit. He does it really well. I don't see any kind of drop off from this program in the future, no matter what happens here in the next couple of weeks or so. So, I'll let Brock kind of expand on it a little more. But for me, goaltending's got to be sharp. It's got to be sharp.
And he's right, because this is a loaded Frozen Four. I mean, this is like the equivalent of college basketball, like Duke, UNC, Kansas, like. Yeah. All the blue bloods getting in.
And it's all the one seeds too, except for Michigan.
Boston College specifically, they can score in a lot. I think they have four of the top six point getters in college hockey right now. So to Josh's point, net minding is going to be huge. But man, this is an elite Frozen Four, best of the best this year and all time.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know, you got to give Jake Barczewski a lot of credit for getting Michigan to this point. There were some times earlier this season.
I'm laughing because I avoid saying his name for those that watch. They know I struggle with names. So, I've been hard on him all year, just drooling over what would have been with Trey Augustine. He's been an absolute stud.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Brock. Sorry. I mean, even earlier this season and even earlier in the calendar year, there were some times where his play was a little not up to par, but He's done a great job getting Michigan to this point. He played a great game against Michigan State the other night, holding them to two goals. I can't remember off the top of my head how many saves he had, but he was fantastic. And it was
like 35 or something, yeah.
Was it?
It was big. I know him and Augustine were both over 30, And then Augustine obviously lets in all the late goals, kind of ruined his night. But
yeah. So yeah, we'll have to see what happens with Boston College. They, like you said, Trevor, very high scoring. And yeah, it's not going to be easy. That's for sure. If Michigan does win the national championship, this is going to be one of the most deserved in a long, long time, because you're going to have to go through, obviously, North Dakota, a 2 seed, Michigan State, 1 seed, and then you're going to have to beat Boston College, a 1 seed, and then either Denver or Boston University, which are both 1 seeds too. So it's going to be very, very deserved. And, you know, like I said, even without a guy like Adam Fantilli, who's off to the NHL, a lot of credit to Brandon Nerado for, and the whole team for getting this together, and even touching a little bit on recruiting too. I saw I think it was the same night that Michigan won, they landed a kid, a 2008.
Yeah.
Which that blows my mind. Like kids from 2008 are now committing to.
Blows your mind. That's the year I graduated high school. Blows Brock's mind.
The year I should have graduated college. I pulled. Yeah,
Brock was like 2 at the time.
7, right? 6 or 7?
I would have been 5 or 6.
Yeah. So you're getting out of high school. I'm figuring out. Shit, I've been in college for 4 years. And I'm still not graduating. I better figure this out. good Lord. Yeah. On the point scores for Boston College, I looked this up. 4 of 6. Will Smith has 69 points. Cutter Gauthier is 64. Ryan Leonard has 59. Nice. Gabe Perreault, 57. For comparison's sake, Gavin Brindley leads Michigan in points with 53. But like Brock said, this has been a team effort, right? Brindley and Rutger Moore, the goal scorer, leading the team in goals. But Gavin Brindley's been dishing the puck. He's been scoring. Casey's been the leading assist getter. Would be really good to get him back. But Dylan Duke, TJ Hughes, and then obviously the man who owns Michigan 2.0. Frank Nazar, what a goal that was, man. I think they're going to play. I mean, I don't even know what to call that. It's just the Michigan now. But that wraparound, I mean, like Josh said, in that moment, man, to go, I'm going between my legs here. Like, I'm so happy for the tens of people that saw it.
I do want to answer the question real quick. When in hockey and recruiting, they go by birth year, not graduation year. So 2008 he was born in 2008. So when you see a recruit, you know, a 2008 recruit, it's not a recruit from whatever it is over 15 years ago now. It's birth year. That's how they go by hockey. I don't know why they do that, but there they are.
Yeah, you'll see that a lot. Always an 06 defenseman . I have not followed it closely enough to get into it, like you said, with the recruiting. I know they've been doing really well. I see the tweets. There's a couple accounts on Twitter that do a fantastic job. And I'll say it again, hockey in general, there are incredibly passionate fans and passionate people that cover it. And you just have to, and even Michigan State, had a couple of Michigan State fans that are friends that when they won that Big Ten championship, I couldn't help but be happy for them. I know they've been loyal and supporting and super passionate. And on the last podcast, I made a plea, and it's worth pointing out that Michigan, I think it's ridiculous, has not had a university-supported women's hockey team, that it's been a club sport. We just saw Ohio State women win the national championship. And at a Regent meeting, it was brought up, and it sounds like Michigan is going to do what it needs to do moving forward to get a women's hockey team. It's frankly short of embarrassing that it hasn't been taken care of sooner. Again, just from a talent pool standpoint, Michigan, I think it's either first or second in terms of talent for women's hockey. So, good to see a couple folks speak up on that, but let's get it done.
All it took was Ohio State winning its second national championship in women's hockey.
Look at Ohio State football. They're complaining about NIL just like us. Michigan wins the Natty, and whoa. Holy cow, that blew the doors open for that.
let's take a minute too to talk about absolutely how soft Ryan Day is.
Let's bring it up.
What a absolute
hold on, let me hold up. I can't believe he said this.
What a absolute soft human being.
Now, maybe this is because Jim Harbaugh once again made a third base reference, right?
Maybe. Taking shots back and forth.
So it's hard for me to say, oh, you say something now when Jim is gone, when Jim seems to continue to drop that in there. But hold on, I almost have it. Here we go. So Ohio State hired their new running backs coach.
Terrible hire, by the way. I think he's a terrible hire.
I don't know what he's going to be, but if we hired somebody who'd only been a running back coach for 2 years, I know what Michigan, Ohio State fans would be saying. But so Carlos Lachlan from Oregon, they're very excited about the hire. A lot of recruits speak very highly of him, whatever. He's the new running back coach. Okay. And in the context of talking about him, Ryan Day said, like some of us in this profession, he came up not in a football family, but grew up and kind of had to figure it out on his own. Now, if that seems weird to you and you're not present on social media, one, good for you. Two, let me explain. There's been this, like, you can always tell, like, what's coming up through Ohio State circles because they kind of start saying the same talking points. And I've seen when Jim Harbaugh made the most recent third base comment, people were like, well, you know, his dad gave him a job. But, you know, he was around football his whole life. Like, that's become this new narrative that, like, Jim's only successful. He's third base, too. Which they don't understand what the phrase means, but because he came from a football family, which he helped his dad. It wasn't his first job. He helped him for 6 years, like in the summer, while he was still playing professional football. His first real job was quarterback coach for the Raiders because he was a quarterback in the NFL for 15 years. And what does he get blessed with? The University of San Diego head coaching job, where he goes and brings them to Patriot Championships or whatever their league was called. What does he get blessed with? Stanford, one of the worst programs in college football history. He brings them to a BCS Bowl, Andrew Luck Heisman candidate, right? Goes to the 49ers, top five winning NFL. Anyway, okay. Appears Day is taking a subtle shot at Jim Harbaugh, who certainly grew up in a football family. Like, what you got on him?
This dude was standing in the mirror sobbing to himself for 3 years trying to wait for his moment to say this, and now he finally said it and he's acting all like big boy now that the bully's gone out of the room. He's kind of similar to, like, you know, those cartoons or whatever where a guy's like holding someone back and they're like swinging like, oh, let me at him, then finally someone let him out and then he ran into a brick wall and fell over. I mean, how unbelievably soft. And you know the entire Ohio State fan base is just circle jerking over this tweet. Oh my God, he's pretty. Oh, Ryan Day's finally used the ball.
I will say, and I haven't looked since we've been on, but that tweet from Silver Bulletin underneath it, largely Michigan fans. But even though Ohio State fans were like, dude, he's not even here anymore. Right? Like, come on. And also, you've lost 3 straight years.
Yeah.
Just unbelievably soft. Jim Harbaugh owns a large portion of Ryan Day's brain, I think. I think that's about all he thinks about at this point. It's pretty funny, but yeah, exactly. He's got a house up there in Ryan Day's head, just chilling. Unbelievable.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I want to just switch to one of my favorite.
Way to make it about yourself, Ryan.
If I can get this up here. Oh yeah, one of my favorite. that walk up the tunnel after that game, man. And I continue to say, I think Ryan Day hates this rivalry.
I don't blame him.
I think it really bothers him how successful he has been. And people still just care about Michigan. The comment he said after that game about this game means a lot to a lot of people, almost excluding himself from it, right? When he says team up north and when he does those things, it just feels fake. I've said that before. And I think if he can somehow figure out a way to beat Michigan and not have to hear about it anymore, and with the expanded playoff and everything, we'll see. It's kind of a bummer. It feels like the game's going to be minimized in some ways.
Yeah.
We'll see if that helps. You know, I think it's an out of your bust year for them, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a, they have a loaded roster. They've done good things in the transfer portal. Yeah. I don't think bust means you fire Ryan Day. But
if they lose to Michigan again, I think he will be.
Yeah.
Which is still, it's still kind of crazy, but yeah, in this era, you can't lose. Or I mean, Jim did, but we saw what 2020 looked like. Right. Yeah, it's interesting. And I just self promote here. Just wanted to point this out for Ryan. Jim Harbaugh is not the coach for Michigan anymore. Sherrone Moore is the head coach. And for those of you who don't know, Sherrone Moore grew up in a small town. He's raised by a military family. His dad was a master sergeant and a boxer. I don't know if you get more badass, scary dude than drill sergeant and a boxer. His mom was a nurse in the Army. He had to figure things out on his own. He loves his mentor, Jim Harbaugh. Just saying.
And 0-1 against Sherrone Moore.
Yeah, so a guy that's already beat you, who is very passionate about the man who gave him this opportunity, Jim Harbaugh, and who too had to figure things out on his own and worked at a community college to get an opportunity to play for Oklahoma and then worked his way up the college ranks. It, I don't know, maybe a shot you didn't need to throw, but I get it. You said you were going to hang 100 three games in, you still have it. And you're just really upset, you know, so yeah. Good luck with that. But
I wish I had that toilet paper in here, but unfortunately it has been wiped and flushed a long time ago.
Good God. What's funny is it was there for months. So I'm imagining a scenario where you had Taco Bell and didn't have toilet paper. And you're like, you know what? There's a roll in my office. I better go grab it.
Eventually I just got sick of looking at it. And then I just got rid of it and added it into the toilet roll holder.
Yeah. It had a good run.
Yeah, it did.
Yep.
Never mind.
Uh-oh.
Never mind. It had some runs on it.
There it is. I love it. He said, nope, never mind.
Anyway. Nah, you know what? I decided, you know, this is my own damn podcast. I can do whatever the hell I want.
I feel bad.
Derek
will appreciate that one.
Yeah.
I feel bad. We've jumped a few hundred viewers just in the last few minutes, and this is what they've come to see, apparently.
Yep. Sometimes you got to talk about shit in Ohio State. You know what happens?
It just happens.
What a combo.
Yeah. People still eat Taco Bell. Yeah.
I do.
I didn't have it for, God, I think it was 2 years. I got brutal food poisoning.
Oh, shocker.
Right. I didn't have it for 2 years. And then I don't know what happened. I said it the other day, like, I've got to be DoorDash's biggest customer. I mocked people. Like, are we that lazy? We can't go get fast food anymore, blah, blah, blah. My wife and I do it all the time. We look at each other. Neither one wants to cook. Our kids running around, like, we'll do DoorDash. But anyway,
You get DoorDash for free with Amazon. So I get so you don't get delivery fees and all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know what I pay for, but I don't pay for fees. I get coupons all the time. It's crazy. But anyway, my wife and I both were in the mood for Taco Bell for some reason. We're like, all right, sure. Just disgusting, dude. I don't blame you, Brock. I've been your age. Okay. I understand. I can tell you many a two. Who does that bit? I can't think of his name now. He wrote Grandma's Boy. He played that roller skating guy in Reno.
Nick Swardson.
Thank you. Nick Swardson does a bit about how, like, when you're drunk, Taco Bell is like 3-star Michelin. It's the best thing you've ever had in your entire life.
Yeah.
That chicken quesadilla just hits different at 3 a.m, man. I tell you what.
Yeah, Taco Bell is very convenient.
Yeah, there's not a lot of places open late anymore either. That's part. Post COVID, it's like the only place that's open late anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, how do I transition into a finish here? All right.
you can find a way.
I'll find a way. All right. So what is it? Is it Tuesday? It's Tuesday. Yeah,
it's Tuesday. Right.
So again, we will continue to have more camp intel throughout the week. You want to make sure you're inside the den on Fridays. That's when Josh posts. I didn't want to say dump. I said dump earlier, but I can't now. It's where Josh posts his week of intel that he's accumulated. Here I go. I'm trying hard. We will have more basketball news as well. We chose not to get into it just because it's kind of just starting to to get up.
A lot of maybes out there.
Yeah.
A lot of maybes. I will say this though. I do feel pretty good about them getting Yale's Danny Wolf.
Yeah.
I get the sense that Vlad Golden and Wolf could probably play together. I just don't
want to see it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is too, and I guess we're going to get into it, but you know, it's the thing is too, they're kind of two vastly different players too, because Wolf is a 3-point shooter. Golden is specifically an under the rim kind of guy. So you can
be that stretch four, right? I mean, that's
the yeah. idea. I mean, and he is kind of being recruited like the four. So I guess, I mean, yeah, you could technically play both of them together, but do they want to play together? I don't, that's kind of the big question that we're trying to figure out. So, I mean, both of them make sense. And honestly, I think just from Wolf's kind of his 3-point ability, I think he's more of an attractive get than Golden is, despite that familiarity with May, because you can kind of stretch the floor with Wolf a little bit.
But I'm not going to get into attract. They've got 8 to 10 seats open. I will take anyone who wants to come here.
That's true. But yeah, you also have to take. Yeah, but you also have to take kids who want to be there too. So, you know,
Fair, the biggest thing we knocked on Juwan was the roster construction and making sure
you
have guys that fit. So.
Yeah.
Well, and Golden is also going to test the NBA waters too.
Right.
So there's going to be a little bit of leeway there. Wolf doesn't really seem like he's going to do that, so better get him on campus. And then obviously Asesian too. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. Nothing's changed there. I feel good about that. The family's just not in a rush. Last thing I heard, they were like on vacation or something. So they're not really.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, they're not really taking this. To you know, not wouldn't say seriously, but they're taking their time. They don't really need to. If they know they want Michigan and Michigan wants him, you know, just
he's got time.
It'll happen. Yeah, it'll happen when it happens. Yeah,
plenty of seats open.
Yeah. He's not gonna have to worry about waiting out his spot. That's for sure.
Which, for those, I mean, I think we've all been pretty consistent. I don't see any path for Doug coming back. I know he.
Wow. Well, there's also breaking news. Per Matt Norlander from CBS Sports, Dusty May will be hiring Mike Boynton Jr. from Oklahoma State.
Wow. I told you there was going to be. All right. I predicted a player, but I knew there was going to be something while we were on the show.
Yeah. That's a good hire. That is a good hire. That's a former head coach right there, a really good recruiter. That's a really good move by Dusty May right there. That's starting that out strong. So that's a good job. Good job by Dusty May. That's really good.
Where was he a head coach at?
Oklahoma State.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, he used to be the
current. The current.
He used to coach Cunningham.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Did he get fired?
Oh yeah, he's been fired for a while.
I didn't know that. I mean, he coached this season. I guess I
was. Oh no, kidding. I'm sorry. He got fired 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Huh. Wow.
Yeah. I thought he was gone earlier than that, but yeah. No, he's I think.
Been there. Was he after Underwood?
Yes, he was there.
He's ever been since. There a while. That is a good hire.
Yep.
Wow.
So at this point, even though it's not official, you've got to assume that Phil Martelli and Howard Eisley and Saudi Washington are all gone, right? I mean, can't.
Yeah, probably. I know
Saudi's the one. But yeah.
Saudi's is really being considered for the U of D job, but I don't know if he's going to get it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That'd be a fun spot for him.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was taking Western a couple of years ago, but
should have.
Hindsight. Props to him for staying. But I always have an interesting memory. The 2021 Michigan Ohio State game. I was in the stands for that, and him and his son sat right behind us. So totally covered up. So at first he said something, and I was looking at him. I think he figured out I could tell it was him. But
yeah,
I mean he's obviously been here a while. He's a great dude. If there's a spot for him here, then okay. But it is what it is. Time of transition, right? So,
yep.
But yeah, we'll continue to cover that. I think it's nice to have some some optimism and excitement around the basketball program moving forward. I mean, this was going to be a complete overhaul regardless. So like I said, I don't think there's a path back for Doug based on a couple of the names we just mentioned and maybe where Michigan has looked already in the transfer portal. I don't see Reed coming back either.
Yeah.
You know, Cheddar was a guy we thought might jump in, but hasn't. So, I mean, that's potentially a valuable big piece there as well. And then I'm trying to think if there was anything new. Christian Anderson, obviously no longer committed. That's not terribly shocking either. His commitment was kind of, so he feed me a word here. That's basically Juwan going out on his own. Right. And that was a commitment that never really made a ton of sense, especially after Fat Brooks comes in too. So feels like they're trying to lock him down. And obviously you've got work to do with Ruth's, who never signed, but yeah. Have we heard anything on the additional years? T-Will and Jace.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. Jason, I haven't heard anything, but they both
They were at the press conference too. So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. T-Will wasn't. T-Will was not there.
No, Jace was there with George Washington
and Will Cheddar.
And Cheddar. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those were the three. T-Will was not there. Namari wasn't there. So yeah. We'll have to see. I am surprised, to be honest, that Terrence Williams hasn't said anything about whether or not. I mean, it's either he comes back for a fifth year or he goes to the portal. I think those are really his only two options. So
interesting. Yeah. But all right. Well, there we go. We'll talk about it in the okay. So more basketball talk as news continues to break. Obviously we'll have an article up very, very shortly here. Dusty May making his first assistant coach hire as well. I can't think of a reason off the top of my head. We will not be at our usual time of Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern time next week. So again, as always, please like, subscribe, make sure you hit the notification bell so you know when we go live. And for those of you coming back and watching this video on playback, if you can comment anything on the video as well, we'll take any feedback as well. Comments are really good for us as well. And then of course, if you don't know, Mesa Blue Review, we cover Michigan for Rivals. Makes this very easy to find, michigan.rivals.com. Please, if you're not a subscriber already, go on there, consider it. We'd love to have you. And again, if you have any questions about joining us and such, don't ask us. We have tons of regulars like Derek and Mark and Adam in our comments here on my live YouTube thread, always joining us, subscribers, a big part of our community. We appreciate you guys. Just ask them if you think you should join. So other than that, hey, loaded show, football, hockey, got some basketball, snuck it in there. We'll have more of it on Sunday. Of course, we'll always have more over at michigan.rivals.com. Thank you for joining us. Hail to the podcast.